welcome to episode 145 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Lindsay, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Donna, Laura, and Elizabeth. So Alaska has been at the top of my own personal bucket list for as long as I can remember. And just a few short months ago, I was able to turn my dreams of Alaska adventure into reality with the help of some good friends at Visit Anchorage, Tia and Dawn, and Cole from K2 Aviation. And we are so happy that all these ladies are here to join us this week and chat about some of the incredible experiences that Alaska has to offer you. So, I know that I probably overstayed my welcome in Anchorage. I did not want to leave. But I wonder if we could start with some of the awesome things that I personally was surprised to find out about in downtown Anchorage, that there is so much to do there.
Right. Well, maybe we can just touch on some of the things that we did have lined up for the fam. And of course, we're going to I'm Dawn from Visit Anchorage. So let me introduce myself. The highlights that we really like to touch on our fam are things that we like, would like for the agents to make sure that their clients visiting Anchorage know about. Be it a rainy or sunny day, you know, there's a lot to do and see indoors and outdoors. So some of those key things, of course, are Anchorage Museum, which is absolutely amazing and also undergoing a brand new renovation where they're adding another wing to the museum. So that's a really key feature here in Anchorage, as well as the Alaska Nature, which can be combined as a full day. You can really spend time at both with a culture pass that combines the two of those with a free shuttle in between, among a many major list of other museums here in town. Those are the two big players, one being more of a cultural center and the other being an actual museum.
So I just have to say, one of the things I loved the most was the Native Heritage Center. I thought that was the coolest thing, how you can go outside and go to all the different tribes and things. We love that.
Right. So at the Native Heritage Center, it's more of a cultural center than it is a museum. And it's really great to go there and learn about how the different Native peoples of Alaska survived. And like you said, the homes that they lived in, the animals that they used to survive, be it for making parkas out of their furs or using the animals to eat and survive. It's really truthfully a learning experience, and they use that center to train the youth that are coming from those cultures on their, what they did to survive for all these years, and trying to keep all those Native traditions alive and well, like the games, the dance, the song, the storytelling, everything from making crafts to just teaching people about their culture.
Is that museum dedicated to the entire state of Alaska, or is it really just the Anchorage area?
It covers cultures from all over the entire state. So you actually learn about each of them individually, and you go to the different village sites, which would be for different areas of Alaska, because you can imagine the people down in southeast Alaska, they had a lot of big trees and lots of ample food source with the ocean, up on the north slope where it's very, very cold and more like an Arctic desert. They lived a completely different lifestyle and used had different animals that they used for survival. And yeah, it's really about teaching all of the different cultures from out throughout the state and what they had in common and what was different.
I remember them telling the story about the people that hunted the polar bears, and that they would take like a really fast kid, like a 12-year-old. He would be like the polar bear bait, and I'm like, oh my god, that's my son. He would be polar bear bait.
You would give your son away as polar bear bait?
He's the fastest one in the family. Yeah, I could totally see that. Yeah, it was really cool.
Some of our clients are bringing their family there. What age would you say is a good age that would enjoy both of those museums?
Any age, really. I mean, because there's at the Anchorage Museum, there it's now called the Discovery Center. It used to be called the Imaginarium. And it's, a hands-on science for kids, from a bubble machine so they can be little toddlers up to teenagers who can go into the touch tank and see how volcanoes work and that kind of stuff. So, and again, at
Alaska Native Heritage Center too. They're doing dances and they pull kids up to learn how to do some of the Alaska Native dances. So I'd say child up to, you know, 21 and older. So
they're both really family friendly. And the nice thing about the culture pass is that the families are going to do both. They don't have to use them on the same day. And so if you have real young ones, you might want to split it up and do, you know, the downtown museum, Anchorage Museum the first day, maybe go to the cultural center, the Heritage Center the next day.
How long is it good for? Because I have people who are doing Anchorage, and then they're starting a cruise tour, so they're going up to Denali. Then they come back and spend a night in Anchorage like 4 days later. Would it still be good 5 days later?
That is a great question. I know you can use it on different days. I don't know how many days apart.
I feel like it's a two-day thing.
Okay.
We can look into that.
We can put the answer in the show notes. That motivates our listeners to go read.
Another cool thing when we talk about kids is that's where I got to see the puppies, the Iditarod dogs.
Yeah, and the Heritage Center. They do have an Iditarod musher there, Tim Baker and his team. Mm-hmm. And you can actually hold puppies. They almost always have puppies there. So they're, you know, of course, dog team, dog kennels, you know, they're continually having puppies. So you can also take a cart ride there. And that's additional cost to the entrance to the center. But it's still absolutely worth it. And people just really love stopping by that area outside. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'd stop for some puppies.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Hey, I know. Lindsay got stuck somewhere with puppies.
I went in the car and drove to see puppies. And I did take a cart ride, and it was way more exciting than I was thinking it, you know. And they were into it. They kept turning around like, can we go now? It was fantastic.
It's really amazed at how much the dogs want to run. Mm-hmm. And love the sport, and it really has been a part of our history here in Alaska. And to be able to experience in the summertime is really something special. And we have people all the time said, "I had no idea the dogs were that eager and that excited to go."
Mm-hmm. That they absolutely love to do it. I went out to the Iditarod Museum in Wasilla,
mm-hmm.
and I got to hold the puppies out there, and then. But I watched the video in the center, and it was a fantastic movie about the dogs and how much they do absolutely love what they're doing. And I mean, it's the perfect life for a dog, I think. Yeah, mm-hmm. they get to do exactly what dogs want to do.
So outside of the museums, what recommendations would you have for people visiting Anchorage for a few days?
Oh goodness, there are so many.
I was about to go into the Alaska Zoo. Maybe I'll let her.
Sure, the Alaska Zoo is really close, and again, we have shuttle service right from downtown Anchorage to go out to our zoo. I believe Lindsay went there as well, and you can go see the moose and the wolves. You can see polar bears there too. So if you really want to see a polar bear, great place to go see a polar bear. They have some little black bear cubs there. Currently, so you really get to see the animals, although, you know, in a wilderness setting. So a lot of people want to see wildlife. You want to see them out in the wild, but this is a great local place to go see them.
And these are is the zoo all animals that are native to Alaska?
They're all the northern climate animals. Okay. So not all Alaskan, but like Bactrian camels and Siberian tigers, anything cold climate based. We no longer have an elephant.
I imagine an elephant would not love it there.
When I was there was a 5-day-old baby musk ox, and he was like the cutest thing. We must have went back like 4 or 5 times to see him because he would just tear around playing, and I never thought a musk ox could ever be cute, but apparently they're born adorable.
All babies are so adorable.
They really are. And a wolverine, to see a wolverine.
Yeah. One of the things that really impressed me the most, that I kind of wasn't expecting, was the ease of transportation and that the shuttles do pick up in that central location. And you can get a shuttle right there, right outside the Visit Anchorage Center to quite a few different things. I mean, there's so much more to do in Anchorage than I had originally thought.
So yeah, let's talk about public transportation in Anchorage just a little bit. Sorry, audience, if you hear my dog. Sorry, Scott, our one listener. Obviously you don't have a subway system or anything like that, but what is the public transportation and the way for a tourist to get around in Anchorage?
Well, we do have the People Mover, which is our public transit bus system. And of course, like Anchorage is not although the municipality Anchorage is about the size of Delaware, it's quite large. The actual city center, like the main part of downtown Anchorage, is about 12 square miles. So you could really get just about anywhere in a cab. And we recently just got Uber and Lyft here in Anchorage. So that's something that people have been asking about for a very long time. And it's finally happening here. People with public transit easy to get around pretty much anywhere in Anchorage. And then, there, like Lindsay said, there's a lot of free shuttles and or low-cost shuttles. So if someone wants to, for instance, do the Flat Top Mountain hike here in Anchorage, there's a shuttle service downtown that'll take you up to the Flat Top trailhead and then also bring you back later that day whenever you're done with your hike. So there's a lot of options for that. Not only the public, the only public transport we actually have is the people mover, but the shuttles and the Anchorage trolley is a really good way if you do a trolley tour to see kind of what you want to see in Anchorage. It's about a 15-mile loop that they do. It's a one-hour tour, and they actually give you a really good overview of what there is in Anchorage, and you kind of see maybe where you want to go back to. If you want to go back over to Lake Hood or, you know, some of the other places along the coastal trail. A lot of people rent bikes downtown Anchorage and then ride those along the, either the coastal trail or just around town. We have over 100 and some miles of trails here, trail systems here in Anchorage. So that's a very popular people as well.
The majority of the tour companies as well, if guests are staying downtown, they'll pick up at their hotels and take them out to the activity or start a tour downtown and take them, you know, to various spots. You can stay located in Anchorage, but go down and visit the Alaska Wildlife and Conservation Center down in Portage. Do a tram ride down at Alyeska. You can pick up the train right downtown Anchorage. Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. What about public ferries for if they wanted to, say, go down to ADAC or go to the Inside Passage or something?
Right, so none of those would be based out of Anchorage. They'd actually be out of our port cities like Seward or Whittier, mm-hmm. Or Homer if you're going down to the Aleutian chain. So Homer, you can go to Kodiak. And then from Kodiak, you can go farther down the Aleutian chain. Typically, we see people using the ferry system from Anchorage. They'll go down to Whittier and then head over to like Valdez or Cordova. If they're going to be going down to Seward, I don't believe the state ferry is any longer running out of Seward. They used to go from Seward to Kodiak, but I believe that that line is now only from Homer to Kodiak.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can take from Anchorage to get down to Seward or Whittier, you can actually take the Alaska Railroad. So that's a really good way to get to and from the that area, or you can also take the railroad going north. So,
and that train leg is just gorgeous down from Anchorage to Seward, Anchorage to Whittier. There's lots of waterfalls, there's glaciers, often wildlife sightings. It's really a tremendous train leg.
How long is that train ride?
Anchorage to Seward is 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's because it's scenic, so they go at a little bit of a slower pace.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I thought was cool, because we did a little short jaunt on the train when I was there, was that the people who were working on the train, it's like everyone was a tour guide everywhere we went, you know? And I want to say they were high school students, but they were like training in tourism and stuff.
They do a really great program where in the schools there's a class that juniors can take, and they learn about all they basically take a class to learn how to be a tour guide on the railroad. And then at the end of the season, or right before tourism season starts, they actually hire 12 students total. 12 out of the 60 actually get hired to work for the Alaska Railroad. So then they work tour guide for the summer, and it's really unique and a great experience.
Yeah. And then the best thing about that is those other kids that didn't make the 12 for the Alaska Railroad, there's so many other tour companies that are itching to get a hold of them because they've been so trained and so practiced, and you start them young and they can stay with your tour company for a long time.
Yeah.
Now, what if they wanted to drive in the Alcan Highway? Is that actually closed certain times of the year?
Nope. T and I just filled it.
I just got back yesterday at about 1 o'clock. Did a 10-day trek between Minneapolis and Anchorage.
Oh, wow.
And I just drove down to Haines, which is also in Alaska, but Haines and Skagway are the only two cities in Alaska in the south southeast panhandle that you can actually drive to. So I happened to drive down to Haines, which is about a 17-hour drive from Anchorage. So you might want to split it up in a couple of days if you're planning to do that. But
yeah. And it would be a more challenging drive in the winter, but people do it quite often.
Wow.
I had a friend that did it, and it hit below, like 40 below in a couple spots. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Still up.
So on that topic, I'm curious, where do Alaskans go for vacation? I mean, it's a long way to anywhere else. So what are the places where people
say? Haynes. I went to Haynes and Skagway. And for the 4th of July, I went to Juneau. So we love to travel our own state.
Yeah. I actually went to Talkeetna for 4th of July. So, I mean, all the places that we suggest to our visitors, I think, are a lot of the places that we actually like to visit ourselves. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I just got yesterday from McCarthy and Kennecott in Wrangell St. Elias National Park. Nice. One of my favorite places.
Yeah, everybody's got this, like, outdoorsy vibe. It's like a big national park. The whole state feels like that to me.
Do you know offhand, and maybe I might be putting you on the spot, but how much of Alaska is national park? Do you know?
Well, I know that we have more national parks and national land reserve than anywhere else in the country. So I think a quarter of the entire holding of national parkland and national forests and such is in Alaska. So
wow.
Right, but that just fits like right in one little corner of Alaska. It's easy to have
the most. And Denali under this year as too. So been very busy flight seeing in Denali. So
that's actually a quite interesting topic that you touched, because a lot of people that do the Southeast round trip 7 day from Seattle, if they don't go to Glacier Bay, which isn't on every itinerary, they're actually not ever going to see a national park in Alaska unless they come across the Gulf. So they're either going to see Glacier Bay, maybe, if it's on their itinerary. But if they want to see like any of the other national parks, Wrangell St. Elias, Denali, Gates of the Arctic, any of those, they actually have to come across the Gulf. So if national parks is on their list, really try and push them to a cross Gulf cruise and some sort of a land itinerary. Mm-hmm. If they're dead set on cruising, they're really going to see more on land. So
yeah. I think all of us tend to push the one-way cruises for sure for Alaska. Yeah, I can attest to the round trip is just, it feels like you just barely, you know, it's like you're doing suicides in track or whatever when you run up and you touch it and you run back.
That's
a
way to put it.
I'm going to use that in one of my presentations.
You're welcome. Copyright Elizabeth.
I mean, that's another great point, is that we try to educate you as the travel professionals, telling clients why to come across the Gulf, why not, you know, why just stay in the Inside Passage? Because a lot of the clients come and they say, we want to do an Alaska cruise, and they have no idea what the difference is.
Right.
So thank you for pushing across the Gulf.
Well, I think because people just don't know, and you don't know how much you don't know until you're standing there and you're going, oh my goodness, if I'd only had a day or 6 hours to do this, I would be so sad right now.
Right.
There's so much to see that it's really important to get land.
And I think people don't realize, I didn't realize how massive Alaska was.
Right.
And, you know, when I was flying there, I had the picture open on the plane of, you know, the route and the planes flying over. And it just took so long to get there. It was so big.
Yeah. Well, you know, in Texas, we're a little sensitive about that.
Yes, well, too bad. Alaska is huge.
We just think Texas is such a cute little state.
Well, you know, I think in the United States, the running joke about that is that, you know, because Alaska gets pulled down and put right next to Hawaii, everybody thinks those two states are the same size. And it's, that's a lie. That's what you think.
People actually think that we're an island. So,
Or even part of Canada. Or the world, which is currency.
So one of my favorite things is how accessible the wildlife is. And how, you know, it is very much still, you know, moose on the side of the freeway, wherever you are.
Saw that.
You can see the natives from just about anywhere. So, the Alaska Wildlife Center was really incredible. So I got some of the most amazing pictures from there, and it was one of those incredible experiences where you know you're literally, you don't want to touch them, but you're almost close enough to touch to touch them.
The Alaska Wildlife Conservation Center is truly a remarkable center. It's focused on the rescue and rehabilitation for animals, and it's so, people say, oh, is it a zoo? Well, it's sort of like a drive through zoo, but not really. You don't get a zoo feeling when you're there. Mm-hmm. And the animals all have about 17 acre or more enclosures. So, chances are you're going to see all of those animals when you're there. But it really truly is a place that is devoted to rescue and rehabilitation. A lot of times when they get the animals too young, they just can't be rehabilitated and set free because they just never learned how to be an adult animal in the wild. Mm-hmm. So some of the animals that are there, of course, are permanent, but really, truly amazing. Laura. Guaranteed wildlife sightings.
Yeah. Laura, and that tour that we did with Salmonberry, that we went out there with the Turnigan Arm Tour, mm-hmm. that took us out there, they it starts right off from downtown Anchorage. So again, you can just, you know, base yourself and you can reach so far from just that one area. I'm really impressed by that mm-hmm. we were able to get.
Like the local attractions and what you can do. Yeah. It's a day trip you can do.
Yeah.
In and out of Anchorage, including the flight scene, which is amazing. So people think they can go to Denali in one day. Well, it's kind of hard to drive up and drive back, but right out of Lake Hood here in Anchorage, you can fly to Denali and back in what, three hours. So.
And we're going to talk about that more on our next episode. So stay tuned for sure. So go ahead, Laura.
Areas of specialty is folks who have accessibility issues, whether visual accessibility issues, food allergy, sensory differences, people with autism, people who have mobility challenges. What is your advice to especially people who maybe coming with a wheelchair or a power wheelchair or not as steady in their gait in terms of being able to access the tours and the activities that you're talking about?
It's a great question, and I think everyone finds Alaska more accessible than they would think. Mm-hmm. So I know most tour companies have the lift gates. There's others. I asked recently to explore tours. They do the new day tour up to Nome. And I was like, and someone asked me that question. And as long as they're okay with having someone help them a little bit and help lift into their van up in Nome and are okay with that, all the restrooms can be accessible. So it depends on their level of comfortable of help, getting a little bit of help. But other than that, I'd say like getting into float planes, as long as you're okay with people lifting, doing a little lifting with you, then it's doable.
And as far as allergies and things like that, most companies are pretty accommodating. So long as we know everything ahead of time, we're able to structure our tour, change it around a little bit. A lot of companies can also do some private things too if needed.
So when you're saying a little lifting, what I'm hearing is there's not a lot of like wheelchair lifts or ramps.
Right. There wouldn't be a wheelchair lift or a ramp into an airplane, for instance, for flight seeing or like, certain vehicles. A lot of the tour companies have vehicles with lifts.
Right.
Okay. That's what I'm asking. That's
like help moved into a float plane or into a smaller vehicle for a tour up in Nome. If they're okay with that assist, then it's definitely doable. So it's that comfort level of that.
Okay,
and I'll say the people I have going in a couple weeks are all pretty old. And so they are not as spry as they used to be. It's my family, so I can say that. But yeah, they won't be doing like, I think my dad is going to get in a plane and do a flight seeing tour, but yeah, my mom, no way. Yeah, she would not be okay with someone lifting her up, but they're all pretty much doing like sightseeing things, but they're getting on boats and, you know, and like smaller boats for those kind of tours and stuff. So there's definitely a clientele that is older that goes on a lot of the cruises and stuff, like the Holland America and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think they did a really good job of getting all of us, and there were some people of a certain age on the Mahé's jet boat tour. They did an excellent job of getting us in and out of there without any casualties.
So what are the difficulties of a jet boat? What's the challenge?
Floating in the water, and you have to step down into it. You know, there's no lift of any kind getting into it, but they have a very nice ramp up to it, and then they help you with hands holding. And we actually did, Lindsay was absolutely correct. We had some people that were very slow and took a while to get up on the step to get up out of the boat, but they were able to do it with just a little bit of help.
Okay.
And that's our training for a lot of the tour companies, because we partner with the major cruise lines that there's a lot of times an older clientele, and that's our bread and butter. That's who we welcome to Alaska for a good majority of our business. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of training that goes involved on how to offer assistance first, not just grab a hand and go for it. Yes. But everyone most comfortable. Right. And so we're pretty well versed in it overall, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like really getting in any, you know, like I'm going to go to the lake in a couple of weekends, and I'm a bigger girl. And so getting in and out of any floating structures, you know, I want to take my time with it. So it sounded like the challenges you need to handle getting in any floating, you know, vessel that's not a big cruise ship.
Right. Yes. Even the day boat tours, they are wheelchair accessible. So, I mean, most of them with the majors that are here in Anchorage, that operate out of Anchorage, Seward, Whittier, you know, they have wheelchair accessible vessels. So even though they hold up to, you know, some of them 200 people, they can definitely get you on and off, no problem. And you can actually, on some of the vessels, you can even wheelchair yourself around the vessel while you're on it. So there's just some options, and you just need to ask when you're making the reservation, you know, what is the accessibility of the vehicle that they'll be traveling in. So.
Great. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Good question.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think appeals to a wide range of ages that I got to do was the Big Swigs beer tour.
Really, you take children on that?
You know, it's getting into the beer, right? We can't have an episode. It was actually phenomenal, and I'm so glad that I got to do that, and I'm so glad that I got to visit all the other breweries too, because the beer was so, it was completely unexpected. I did not go to Alaska thinking the beer is going to be the best beer in the world, but there's something about the water, the food too was a complete surprise for me. So I think I probably came home about 40 pounds heavier because I just stuffed my face with every single thing that I could.
What are some of the culinary specials of Alaska, of Anchorage?
What was that?
What are some of the culinary specialties of your area?
Oh, well, of course, Alaskan seafood is really big because, you know, the amazing salmon that comes from the state here, halibut, king crab, you know, all of those things that people just think of when they think of Alaskan food. But we have a really diverse population here. In fact, over 130 languages are spoken in our elementary and through high schools here in Anchorage. Wow. So with that diversity also comes a diverse culinary experience here. So you can get food from just about anywhere. You do get people that come here and they are not seafood fans. And so there is really something for everybody, but the seafood is a really big draw for Alaska.
Or reindeer hot dogs, right, Lindsay?
caribou hot dogs. I think I every day had caribou at least once a day.
Oh, God.
The entire time I was there. And caribou gyros too. Tia's, shout out to Tia's, but that was, she makes the most amazing gyro made out of caribou meat, and then you got to put the spicy tzatziki sauce on it.
Right. Well, you officially have to call it reindeer because they're domesticated caribou. So it truthfully is the same animal. It's just that they, you know, they have to regulate what they can serve through the FDA. And so anyway, reindeer is a domesticated caribou. But it does taste almost exactly the same.
really tasty. And so we've got those hot dog carts downtown. Yeah. And we're also seeing a big blow up of food trucks, which is really exciting for us. We've seen that on the West Coast, other places, but Alaska's starting to, or Anchorage in particular, is starting to really take off. And we've got a little couple food truck communities. One day a week, you'll know where to go, and you can hit multiple different trucks and try a different variety of food. It's a local favorite, and starting to blow up with our tourists as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can find those at the Anchorage Market as well on Saturday and Sundays. Yeah. So they have over 300 vendors in downtown Anchorage on Saturdays and Sunday from mid-May to mid-September. So another great place to go eat and shop.
You mentioned the beer tour, and you said the beer's so good here. Alaskans really do love their beer. and our dining. We have a ton of new brew pubs that open downtown, and a lot of very walkable from the hotels down here.
Yeah. I think Alaska can be a real beer lover's mecca, because a lot of times if you're a big craft beer fan, you are seeking things you can't get at home. And as some breweries get larger and distribute more widely, unless you're in Seattle, you're really not going to see Alaskan beer. And even there, you probably don't see very much of it. So it truly is getting to the source of your craft beer for sure.
I definitely
when we're traveling, we see it somewhere else. Look, it's Alaska Beaver.
So how far have you seen it? How far away have you seen it?
The Alaskan Brewing Company, they distribute far. They're very far. Further over. So,
But any of the other distilleries, our breweries, they actually, Denali Brewing Company is the second largest in the state, and they actually do distribute some to Washington State. But other than that, they don't go anywhere else. So that, the Alaskan Brewery would be the only one that really actually distributes far and wide.
Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Washington. Yeah.
And I did bring home a little bit in my suitcase. It's gone now.
I was going to say.
You know, I'm a big...
heard of how many brewers we stopped at with you, Lindsay, but we don't do that on every fam tour.
I'm happy that I inspired a change in the schedule.
That beer out.
I'm a big fan of sunrises and sunsets, so this might be a good time to talk a little bit about how there might be more daylight hours or nighttime hours, depending on when people go, and giving them a heads up about that.
Well, you can see the longest sunset of your life here.
It's months, right?
I don't know when it's setting or when it's rising, but
which one is which?
There are some, really, we do have beautiful sunsets. You just have to stay up quite late in the evening. And really, if you want to see a beautiful sunset, you really don't want to be right at summer solstice, because it's really hard to see it at that time, June 21st. Growing up here, I always thought everyone in the whole world celebrated summer solstice. And I used to ask people, what are you doing for summer solstice? And they're like, what do you mean? Where do you? They're like, why?
Well, I can tell you, when I was up there, the sun came up at 5:30 in the morning, and I was the only one awake.
Sunsets, you know, the later in the summer you come, you know, the better chance you are going to have a really beautiful sunset. And the good thing is that they do still last a very long time. The cloud colors and the alpenglow on the mountains and things like that, it really changes so often, because you could literally watch a sunset for a couple hours. So
wow.
And that's another, like, if you're a photographer too, we do have a company called Alaska Photo Treks, and she does a sunset safari. And so, and it changes what time she departs depending on what time of year it is. So
that would be awesome.
It was a phenomenal tour, and I will say, do it or have your clients go at the beginning of their trip, because she's able to help anyone with any type of camera, from cell phone to the fanciest DSLR to anything in between. And there, it's a small enough group that she spends enough time individually, and she can give you a few tricks and tips to really make the most out of your vacation photos, because you're going to want to bring home. Those are the best souvenirs you're going to bring home.
My dad's doing that tour. He's doing it when he gets to Anchorage.
Yeah.
I suggested to him.
That was one of my favorites. It's so hard to pick a favorite, because we did so many things, and I was going through, right before I was going through looking at all my Instagram posts and all my pictures, and I'm like, I can't pick a, but that was one of my favorite things, was the photo safari.
Right. If they don't want to do the evening, like the sunset photo safari, they can do just an Anchorage walking tour that's a photo tour. And that's really cool, because you're downtown and you get to, they take you to a lot of really great places where you can take pictures of local Anchorage things, and you get some cityscapes and things like that. So they can still help you with your camera settings and things. So you can really figure out how you're going to get the best pictures of your vacation.
So it sounds like you don't need experience or even a real camera. Like, you can just bring your camera phone.
Mm-hmm. You can have a phone. You can, littlest to the most experience, anyone can go. And she basically the tour, she was able to send some people off. I went with Lindsay, so I actually got to experience the same one she did. But the people that are more advanced and they already know how to work their cameras, she takes them to places where they can get amazing photos, and they don't need to sit around and listen to the instruction or anything like that. They have a little bit more time to take pictures.
And she's also able to do, for those hardcore photographers that really want a one-on-one experience, she's able to do some private tours too, and she'll partner with some of the tour companies. And I know she goes out with us for bears, and the photos they take are just incredible.
You can just photograph bears. That's like the one thing everybody, I've been to Alaska twice, and both times I didn't see any bears, and I am totally okay with this.
That happened to me in Yosemite too. I didn't see bears in Alaska either.
I'm okay with this.
Refuge place.
So right back, I ran in. I stopped counting bears on the drive back on the Alpine.
And I was just in McCarthy, and I was with my friend and his two daughters, and he was taking a nap on a rock, and the one older daughter says, Dad, bear. And he still had his eyes closed. And she's like, no, seriously, a bear. And he wakes up and it's 25 yards from them.
Oh, my gosh.
Walk back to their car and life was good.
Back, I would have done the awful thing. I would have. I did. In fact, I don't even know if it was a bear and I ran. So
it could have just been a really big guy. I don't know.
When I went up to Hatcher's Pass and I kept stopping. This is the other thing too. Take someone with you that's not a photo bug if you are a big photographer, because and make them drive, because I pulled over so many times on what should have been not that long of a drive to get there that by the time I got there, it was like, well, it's time to go back, because as I kept finding something else that was more beautiful to take a picture of, and I wasn't even at my destination yet. So, but one of the stops, I stopped and kind of hopped the guardrail and went over through the brush to get this big beautiful landscape shot, and I heard this grunting, and it probably was a moose giving birth or something. My immediate thought was, oh frick, now I'm gonna see a bear. And I did that thing that you're not supposed to do that's in all the pamphlets that says don't run, and I ran back to the car and
we're glad you're still with us, Lindsay.
I've been up here 16 years and I've only had two times that I've been on a trail where a bear has been at the same place without intentionally going to look for them or watch them.
Why are you not supposed to run?
Because they're very fast and they can chase you. And it makes it more like a game, like if you're running and they're all of a sudden interested in you. So
it's just like a dog.
So it's better to just stand there and hope they don't take an interest?
Well, it's kind of different with two different types of bears, and we could do a whole safety. But with grizzly bears or brown bears, the same bears, just depends on where you find them. But they tend to just want you to either be still, or if you make yourself really big, they'll just turn and go away. Whereas a black bear may be a little more predatory, like may want to chase you. So it's really actually a little bit different depending on the type of bear. But again, if you're going out into the backcountry, it's really good to get some advice, read some books, and know what to do, what the bear etiquette is. Same with moose. You know, moose and their young calves, they're very protective. So there's etiquette that you should know if you're going into an area where you think you may run into a bear, just so you know what to do. And people carry bear spray with them as a deterrent. You know, I've lived in Alaska my entire life. I've never had to use it ever. Mm-hmm. And when you're in very thick bear areas, some people will carry like a gun, you know, people that live here. But I've never, ever been in a situation where it had to be used. So that's positive. 40 years and I'm bear spray gun free.
I'm still good with not seeing bears in the wild. That's totally. If
you see bears, it's going to be from the train or it's going to be at the Alaska right. Wildlife Conservation Center. Most of the time they're guided or with someone, or they're doing something in a populated area where the bears don't want to come hang out with us. So,
right.
So it's pretty safe unless they're doing some sort of backcountry adventure or a detailed hike solo, something mm-hmm. like that. And then they'd want to pay a little more attention.
Yeah. I was going to say for chickens like me and Elizabeth,
it's not chicken. Yeah. It's smart. That's what it
has. the Alaska nature hike, the Myers Lake walk that we did at Nature Walk. I really did enjoy that. I mean, once it was done and I realized we didn't run into any bear, I really did enjoy that, but it felt safer than, you know,
when you're with someone that knows what to do and knows to watch what signs to watch for. And man, Howard with Alaska Nature Guides was just incredible. Mm-hmm. That was a really fantastic tour. Actually, Tim and I did that tour with you all for the first time. And he was just so informative and just so thrilled about what he was doing. And it was just really a treat to see someone that loves their job that much and what they do and how much energy and effort they put into really making that a really good experience. And that's great for just about anyone, any ability.
Yeah, I will say I would have missed so much. I mean, he knows so much about all the plants and everything, and I would have walked by half of the things at least that he pointed out, and it was just so wonderful to actually get to experience things that you might not notice on your own or stumble right by.
I love how he tried to get
things. Yeah.
So good.
Well, that is all the time we have this week, and I want to thank you ladies so much for joining us. Thank you to Tia and Dawn from Visit Anchorage, and Cole from K2 Aviation, who will be joining us on our next podcast.
Thank you.
All ladies next week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, please visit us at outlandertravel.com and then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of myself, Sandy, Elizabeth, Laura, Donna, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us here on Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!